My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
O'clock hour, you've almost made it, or maybe you have made it. You're on your way home, going to the lake, whatever. It's the weekend, not the holiday weekend yet, but it's the weekend.
No one's going to the lake this weekend. They're all holding out for next weekend.
Why wouldn't they go next week? Why wouldn't you do both, Rob?
It's just a regular weekend.
A regular weekend, but people go to the lake all the time.
You think lake people are just always at the lake?
I think lake people go all the time. And especially if you got Chiefs tickets and all that, you want to get this stuff out of the way now before football gets going. So, yeah, I think lake people still going to the lake both weekends. But anyway, it's Friday night. Enjoy your Friday night. Enjoy your weekend. It's fun. Got a couple weeks here. 13 days until the Chiefs and the Ravens. But for now, we play the hits.
It's 5 o'clock. And your wife has tuna casserole ready for you at home. Might as well get caught up on the biggest stories of the day in Kansas City with C.Dot and Rob. This is The Hits. Number one.
Well, Bank, the top story of the day in Kansas City and really around the NFL world is simple. Creed Humphrey got extended per reports. Ian Rapoport and others are announcing last night the Chiefs have given their center a long-term extension, making him the highest-paid center in the NFL. Bink, we'll get to the ripple effects of what could have happened because the Chiefs decide to give a contract to their center. But first things first, are you surprised the Chiefs decide to lock up Creed long-term?
No, because I think you're thinking of the value of what this franchise is, who is the most important asset to this franchise, who is the most important person to this team ever, Patrick Mahomes. Make his life easier. Creed Humphrey, they have a great relationship. He's been his center. He's got his guy going forward. It's his dude. Two centers stood out as far as being the best in almost every category last year. It was Jason Kelce, and it was Creed Humphrey. Creed Humphrey's now one of the top paid linemen, not only the highest paid center, but one of the most highest paid linemen. And I think the Chiefs want to make an investment in their offensive line, keep the continuity going forward, because you're going to have a rookie left tackle in Kingsley Suamotia. Probably only have Joe Tooney this year. You may or may not get Trey Smith back next year. They saw the value in Creed Humphrey and what he means to Patrick Mahomes. And to me, it's about making Patrick Mahomes happy. Not only getting him the offensive skill set positions to go, but also the offensive line as well. So I 100% see the value in that. And by the way, I don't see the value in the tuna casserole. I like the new intro, Rob, for the hits, but tuna casserole, no thank you, man. I'm with him on that.
Number two.
All right, Bink, let's talk about what's next now, or at least the ripple effects, the whatever you want to call it now that Creed Humphrey is, I know he hasn't put pen to paper yet, but now that he is officially in the fold long-term for the Kansas City Chiefs. Bink, we all knew coming into this offseason the Chiefs had four players they needed to talk about locking up long-term. It was Trey Smith, Nick Bolton, Creed Humphrey, and Harrison Butker. As the season is 13 days away, half of those guys have long-term contracts. What do you think it means for Trey and Bolton long-term that neither one of them have been given a contract yet by the Kansas City Chiefs?
Well, the Chiefs have made a priority to lock up the ones that matter to them going forward. The arrow's still going straight up, and you're going to get years of production or haven't hit your prime. They got to steal Trey Smith in the sixth round. And I think eventually Trey Smith gets that other contract with Kansas City. I think that's their focus now that they've got guys locked up. They show the loyalty to certain players they drafted or brought in that mean a lot to the organization, and clearly he does. I think it's maybe not so good for Nick Bolton. I absolutely love Nick Bolton and what he can do, and I understand when you think about shutting down other teams' running games, and I understand the fact against the Eagles, you can make an argument for it. He was the Super Bowl MVP. But the bottom line is, he only played 8 games last year. And you ended up with the number 2 defense in the NFL. Number 2 in points against. 8 games he played, like I said. Baltimore, everybody looks at their defense and loves it. They give up 109 yards a game running the football against. Chiefs gave up 113.2, a 4-yard difference. And I think linebackers are easier to get than, you know, elite offensive linemen, especially middle linebackers, guys can move around. They gave Drew Tranquil that 3-year contract in the offseason. I think Nick Bolton could be the odd guy looking out. Trey Smith, I do think they'll bring back.
When you say bring him back,
I don't mean bring back, gets the contract.
You think he gets the massive deal? You think he's got still got a deal looming? Maybe this
I think
year
so,
next.
And keep in mind, I mean, unless they value it like receivers and think, okay, they're because 2 years ago, their wide receiver market got crazy when Davante Adams signed. And that's when they jettisoned Tyreek Hill to Miami to get the draft picks. Well, this past offseason, what did we see? We saw the guard market absolutely explode. So I'm curious what it's going to do next year.
Maybe it's because of, and I want to talk to this regular. We'll get back to the hits in a moment. Maybe it's because of where he went to school, but the Bolton thing confuses me because I feel like Chiefs fans know, hey, you can't pay everyone, you can't pay everyone, you can't pay everyone, you can't pay everyone. And I think Chiefs fans are very knowledgeable and they understand that. But then when in practice it happens and, hey, it doesn't look like, let's say that, it does not look like they're going to pay their linebacker, Nick Bolton, fans get angry. Well, how could you not pay Nick Bolton? Like, it can't be both to me. Why do you think that fans, and maybe it's as simple as where he played college football, why do you think fans are so adamant that the Chiefs are making a potential mistake by walking on Nick Bolton or believe that Nick Bolton needs to be in the long-term plans? Because I feel like you hear fans say all the time, hey, can't pay everyone, and now the Chiefs are making a Patriot-like decision, or they appear to be making a Patriot-like decision, and walking away long-term from one of their guys, and fans are flustered by it.
And the one thing is you can't pay everybody, like you said. As much as you want to, is what they all saying, GMs, if they listen to the fans, you'll be sitting with them eventually. But think about this, though. There's a lot of times you didn't know if he's playing or not. And that's how I kind of always judge things. Like, if you realize, okay, he's not playing. Drew Tranquil's got the green dot on his helmet. Drew Tranquil was everything and more than you wanted last year. Dude came with 4.5 sacks. 2 forced fumbles in that year, too. He had the production and the combine drafts littered with guys that kind of skill set. But you can't have everything you want. You can't have all the nice things. You can't pay everybody, you know, enormous contracts. You have to look at what values your organization has. And to me, it's what helps Patrick Mahomes, to be honest with you, protecting Patrick Mahomes, giving him the talent at wide receiver. That's where my main focus is if I'm the Kansas City Chiefs, is number 15, 3-time Super Bowl MVP. So when it comes to offensive line, yeah, you want to make that stable for Patrick Mahomes.
Number 3.
Speaking of the preseason, Bink, a preseason darling last night thrived yet again. Carson Steele was sensational in the Chiefs' loss to the Bears last night. Andy Reid, after the game, spoke glowingly about the Chiefs' fullback / running back.
If he stayed at Ball State, he probably would have gone down as one of the great ones, you know, at the university there. But he transferred and then he ended up playing there at UCLA. And I mean, that's saying something from an experience standpoint with a bigger school. But he, you know, we knew he could run the football. It was his ability to pass protect and play special teams and do those things. And he's done a pretty good job with all that.
Bink, think after last night, everyone's favorite camp darling, what's the name of his alligator? Crocky J?
Crocky J.
Is Crocky J and his owner going to be full-time residents on the Kansas City metro area? Is Carson Steele now a lock? Stamp it in. We'll put it in steel.
Yeah.
Steel. To make the roster now after last night.
And I thought so. I thought so before going into that. And when Andy Reid's talking about, you know, how he runs, again, this isn't Carson Steele that played, you know, fullback somewhere and had 130 yards career rushing. No, he had 1,556 yards 2 years ago at Ball State where he led the MAC in rushing. Britt Veit's pretty good at running backs in the MAC, right? Got Kareem Hunt. He was instrumental in Kareem Hunt coming to the Kansas City Chiefs from the MAC out of Toledo. Well, then Carson Steele transfers to a Power 5 and goes out to UCLA and leads that team in rushing. Again, it's much different than a fullback, because Andy Reid even cautioned people early on. Yeah, he may be a fullback with his team, but he runs like a halfback. So that's what he is, and that's how he runs. I look at him, though, he's got every fullback characteristic you'd want, though, because he's great catching the football, great in pass protection. But not only that, the most important thing, what can you do on third and one? What can you do on fourth and one? And you fully trust, because they're not going to do the quarterback sneak. So if you're not going to do that, you better have a battering ram that can pick up the first down. Hey, Isaiah Pacheco runs hard. We all know he runs hard. He runs harder and he runs more than anybody in the NFL. But for some reason, that third and one and fourth and one still haunts the Chiefs, even with that guy. Can Carson still be the difference maker? I think he's second best runner on this team behind Isaiah Pacheco. Because I think, okay, I know he's running against twos and threes and vanilla defenses. But I think, all right, what would Clyde have done had he been taking those reps instead of Carson Steele? Would Clyde have been able to extend that hand even against future insurance salesmen for the Bears last night? Would he have been able to do it? I think not. I think it was his best Derrick Henry impression.
All right, okay, okay. Settle down.
The Carsons with this team. Carson Steele, Carson Wentz. It's the invasion of Carsons and the Chiefs. Love it.
Number four.
It's also my kid's name.
Well, Bank, it's not just the Chiefs that are in the news. The Royals start a massive series against the Phillies tonight. The Riptide is underway.
That's right.
20 games in a row against teams that are in the playoffs as of right now. Cody Decker was out at Circa with Cody and Gold today in Vegas, and he said, hey, he had an interesting idea on who he'd like the Royals to potentially play of the teams that get a bye.
No, it depends on who they're going to be set up with. I'm okay with them being set up with whoever has a bye. I think if they meet up with, what I don't want to see them happen is like them meeting up against the Astros. It doesn't mean I don't think they can beat the Astros. I do think they can beat the Astros. I think they're better than the Astros. I don't think the Astros are particularly a great team this year. But October, we'll see what happens. I like the idea of them facing somebody with the bye, because I firmly think that the bye is punishment for the best teams in Major League Baseball. Who's come out of 5 days off and just swung the bats like they know what they're doing? No one. It's been an Achilles heel for the Dodgers. It's been an Achilles heel for the Phillies, the Yankees. I think the Yankees need to finish second place so they don't have to deal with the bye. I think that momentum for an offensively minded team like that is going to be huge. If they can face one of those, if they end up facing the Yankees with the bye, I think it's the best possible scenario for the Kansas City Royals.
Bink, do you believe what Cody Decker says, former Royal Cody Decker, that facing the Yankees after the Yankees get a bye could be, quote, the best possible thing for the boys in blue?
Yeah, not buying that. Kind of poo-pooing the Houston Astros, too. I mean, the Houston Astros have won 12 of the last 15 games. They've seized control of their division. They've also been the seventh straight American League Championship Series. So not poo-pooing those. And the Yankees, I don't know, you don't want to face an Aaron Judge and a Juan Soto all the time. The number one and three hitters in Major League Baseball. I know you have Bobby Wood Jr. and Vinny's number three in RBI. But Juan Soto, by the way, he had eight hits in the last couple games. They were all home runs, like all of them. And I saw what the Yankees did on literally no rest. They played on Sunday Night Baseball. They get to Kansas City at 4 or 5 in the morning, and they pasted the Royals 3 out of 4. And that's even that first game when they rested Judge, rested Soto. I don't care. And I know the top two teams get byes. People talk, hey, you don't want to get stale and all that. There's nothing wrong with a little bit of rest. I know it's more important in the NFL than it is baseball. And you're trying to think, all right, staying in sync, staying hot, staying ready. Well, we see it in baseball all the time, where it's the ALCS or the NLCS, and it's over quick like a sweep, and the other one's going to game 7. Well, does that team really have that much of a disadvantage when it gets to the World Series? The answer is no. And the one thing, too, is you burn your pitching staff out. You start rolling through your bullpen. If you're in a dogfight in the wild card game in game three and you're going all three games and there's the team that's just sitting there resting, ready to throw their ace at you, they're 1, 2, and 3, and all of a sudden your rotation is not 1, 2, and 3 because you used your ace several times in different roles, not only starting but in the bullpen, hey, to be honest with you, Rob, I would take advantage of having the rest.
I feel like, and listen, Cody Decker and me can just disagree on this, because at this core, this is the rest versus rust argument. We have this argument every January in the NFL. Should a team rest its starters in week 7, like week 18 now? That's the conversation. Him saying that the bye team is at a severe disadvantage, I kind of agree with, but I also feel like it's not like they're sitting out for 2-3, you know, weeks. Like, they're out for 4 days.
Well, we see with the World Series, too, and I don't have the data to back it up, because some games, we go to 7 games. The other one, like the ALCS, goes to 7 games. Mm-hmm. NLCS is a sweep in 4 games.
And
they're sitting around and waiting for them. I don't know who historically has the advantage on that.
But, like, I would say, if I, as a Royals fan, you know what I don't want? I don't want the Royals to be the third wild card, be playing in that wild card weekend, and then, you know, 3-game series, you get through, and then I don't know, I'd feel confident, be like, oh, well, now that they're through the, whoever the worst division winner was, now they get to face the Yankees, who have been on some rest. Now I feel confident because the Yankees are all rusted over. I don't know I would feel that way. So me and Cody Decker just disagree, but I want no part of the Yankees until the Royals have to face the Yankees, and I definitely don't want the Yankees while they're rested and they can line up Garrett Cole to come at you in game one while you're either short resting Cole Reagans or throwing out a Michael Wacha, Brady Singer type. That would be a pitching disadvantage.
I am curious about it, though, because, again, you have NLCS teams that do have rest. Does that really affect them? I think, personally, being able to throw your ace right out when the other team doesn't, and you get that early advantage on that team. So it's going to be interesting to watch and go forward. But I just know that right now, if you're not the K, 2 games back, Kansas City Royals, you got Lorenzo Cain bobblehead tonight. You got fireworks. What are you waiting for? Can you get the 30,000? Well, little birdie told me that probably not, Rob. So looking maybe around 23,000.
So here's the thing, and I want to talk about this. And this show gets a bad rap for browbeating fans about the attendance, but that's fine. That's what we're going to do here.
Yes.
Like, this is a massive series for the Royals. The Royals are holding a playoff spot. The Royals are 2 games back of the lead in the AL Central. This is the midst of a postseason push. I believe I saw a stat. They're, what, 3.5? I believe 3.5, maybe 4 games back of the best record in the AL. This team has the same record they did in 2014 at this time. They might be better at this point after a win on Wednesday.
And after the All-Star break, yeah, the best team?
They're the best team in baseball after the All-Star break. They have an MVP candidate in Bobby Witt Jr. Why are we not seeing bigger numbers at the ballpark? Why do we continue to see them near the bottom of baseball? And I will excuse it away to an extent on Wednesday with school. Okay. But, you know, I got the same little birdie alert that you got about the attendance this weekend. Man, those numbers, they can change because, you know, people buy tickets and go to the game. But right now you're looking at a weekend of getting a total of 50,000 through 3 games against the Phillies.
It's not looking great.
When you have a chance to, by the end of the weekend, be the top of the AL Central or near the top with a massive series against the Guardians, like, I don't understand why attendance is so bad. Like, can you explain to me why the Royals continue to struggle to get people to the park?
Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't make sense to me. And again, there's a lot of reasons to go. You don't have to worry about school tomorrow or whatever. It's Friday night. The weather's not that bad. I think it's like 84 degrees. That's not bad. You get fireworks tonight. You get a Lorenzo Cain bobblehead if you're early enough. You get to watch Bryce Harper. You get to watch Trey Turner. You get to watch Kyle Schwarber. And then you get to see, of course, Vinny, Sal Perez, Bobby Witt Jr. I mean, that is Bobby Witt Jr. is much to see anyway. I mean, it was the rematch, the 1980 World Series, but there's a lot of people don't even remember those days. So, but it's getting a chance to watch Philadelphia. I love how baseball, where every team plays every team. I love that. I love that fact. But I don't get it. And again, Robbie, you and I don't like using the school excuse because there's other markets. They all have school too, right? Kansas City's not the only place that has school. But I have no idea why people aren't just buying into this team at this point. This team is as fun as you'd ever want. This team, you can make an argument, could challenge or maybe even beat that 2014 team. The people piled in that stadium in droves. Is it the fact that it was a 30-year absence between World Series and you're always waiting for the other shoe to drop? That's what Kansas City used to be, man. That's why I called Arrowhead in Kauffman Stadium, that road between the Boulevard of Broken Dreams, because you know bad things always happen. Like, you always thought it was a good team, and then, like, the Chiefs, they went 21 years without winning a playoff game. But things are different in this town, man. You know, the Royals get that title in 15. Chiefs have won 3 since that. I mean, it's been a minute since the Royals won one. I remember in 14 and 15, they bought right back in, man. You know, a lot of fans would call them new money fans that hopped on board the bandwagon and whatever and ready to go. But they came. And they believed in the team. Now, it took a while because Ned Yost did call out the fans there for a while because they weren't showing up.
It was around this time in 2014.
It was right around. Where are you guys? Boom, they went way up. And then in 15 and 16, all that wasn't the problem.
I mean, that is absolutely not Q's, you know, based on everything I hear about when he's on Fesco in the morning, or Fesco and Dusty, excuse me, Fesco and Dusty, yep. Not Fesco in the morning. When I hear him go on there, when I hear him do interviews after games, before games, everything about Q's demeanor is he's not a call out the fans guy. But I mean, that's what it took in 2014. You had the winning, and then Ned Yost said, "Hey, what the heck? Where is everyone?" And then the fans showed up to kind of shut him up, and then the city fell in love with the team. Like, is it going to take a player or Q, or I don't think John Sherman can do it, or J.J. Piccolo saying, "Hey, what the heck? Where are my fans at for people to buy back in?" Because think, like, by the next time we take the air, the Royals could be first place AL Central. You take 2 or 3 from the Phillies, you get some help over the weekend from the Guardians, and then you win game one of the doubleheader on Monday. You're first place in AL Central. By the next time they're playing a home game, which is, I think, September 5th or 6th, somewhere in there, they could be not only a lock for the playoff, they could be hurtling toward hosting playoff games. And that same team right now on August 23rd, big weekend series, is looking at drawing 50 in totality. That just seems so low to me.
I don't get it from the 816. It says, "You guys are crazy. Besides this week's attendance, has been good. Kids are—" No, it hasn't been. It was 13,000 the other night. That's not good. "Kids are starting school this week. I myself just had a baby. But we've been to multiple games." That's what someone says. My thing is this, though. Major League Baseball, the highest average of any team is the Dodgers, 48,243. Correct me if I'm wrong, but they still have school in Los Angeles. The Yankees are second, 41,906. Correct me if I'm wrong, but they still have school in New York. Philly, 41,525. I'm pretty sure they have school in Philadelphia as well. San Diego, a town that just lost its football team a couple years ago, 40,634 per game. They have school in San Diego. St. Louis, sixth in Major League Baseball. 36,644 is the average for St. Louis Cardinals games. So I'm pretty sure that the kids still go to school in St. Louis as well. So I ain't buying that, man. I ain't buying that at all. Kansas City's at 20,094. They're 26th out of the 30 teams in Major League Baseball. So until you can prove that these other cities don't have school for their kids, I ain't buying it. And I won't buy it. It is what it is. They just don't go. And that's the truth. They're just not going in droves. But again, all these other places deal with school too, including the sixth biggest attendance per game just on the other side of the state in Missouri, St. Louis. Very similar to Kansas City.
Also, the person who says, "Well, outside of this week, it's been good." They are bottom 5 in baseball in attendance. The other teams around them, the company you keep, which does matter sometimes, the company you keep as far as attendance, the teams in the same breath as the Royals this year, are the A's, who are the owner is actively trying to move the team, the Marlins, who have never had a fan base. Like, the Marlins have quite literally never cared. The White Sox, which might be the worst baseball team we've ever seen, and we watched the 06 Royals, so that is awful, awful. That is the area in which the Royals are hovering attendance-wise. It's that group of teams. It's teams that are real bet the Rays. The Rays are also in this group because the Rays never get fans. So I'm just, it's not just a Wednesday night was bad and this weekend looks like it's not going to be as good as I would have hoped. Man, the Royals are consistently near the bottom in baseball and are near the bottom in baseball this year in attendance. And for a team that might win their division, that seems outlandish to me.
With arguably the best player in baseball. Which really, if you go out to the game, you get a treat with Bobby Witt Jr. pretty much every game. Not every game, but most games you do. Whether it's at the plate, whether it's defense he's playing, whether he's stealing a bag, you name it. Someone's saying, well, the economy sucks. Well, the same, I mean, St. Louis, everybody's got the same economy, man. So it's just different. Maybe are people saving their money for the Chiefs? I don't know. I just know that this baseball team is two games out of winning their division. They're one of the best teams in baseball. Again, like Rob said, they're a few games from being the top team in the American League. But the attendance would be bottom five. Absolutely insane when you think of it that way. Coming up next, though, look at the Kansas City Chiefs. Are they better roster this year than they were last year? And Carson Steele, locked to make the team or not?
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, welcome back. Rob Britton, Jay Bickley, The Drive. 816. People are still pissy from the vote. I don't care what anybody says. John Sherman left the sour taste in people's mouth.
Really?
You don't want an owner that paid everybody through COVID when a lot of people didn't? You don't want somebody that gives the bag to the cornerstone of the franchise and Bobby Witt Jr.? You don't want a guy that pretty much outspent most teams in Major League Baseball in the offseason, bringing in Lugo and walking, doing that. A guy that didn't want to give up anything at the trade deadline and they added pieces. One of the best teams in baseball, second best run different. You don't want that? You kidding me? Sherman's been great. He's been great. I mean, it's, I don't get that at all. Everything you've wanted, that's what it is. I've always wanted the guy that's a fan, that's got money to run a team. And he is. He's a fan. He's got money, and he runs the team. It's like any other fan, except he's got money. It's different. But he's been absolutely great with the team this far. So, yeah, he'd be mad about the stadiums, whatever. But you were warned. People were warned, Rob. If you don't vote for it, just be prepared that you're going to get bidding from other places, and that's exactly what's happened.
I mean, I feel like
there's not many lies or fear-mongering.
I feel like at the end, I mean, we had the mayor on last week. It sounds like from reporting that even if you voted no on the stadium, the Royals might be getting a new stadium regardless. So
without pet taxpayer money,
without a vote. So I mean,
if you feel
mad about that, that's fine. But I can't imagine a vote change people's opinion on the Royals that much, because it doesn't seem to change opinions about the Chiefs. Well, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe the Chiefs' home opener will have less attendance than usual, but I'm betting it's filled to the gills and people are there to watch the banner get raised. And Clark Hunt was just involved in that vote as anyone else. So I feel like a lot of the excuse we make about the Royals ring a little hollow to me. I just, if you want to be honest with me on why it's down this year or why it's down right now, is because I think their season ticket base is down because after last season, it's hard to get a person to buy in to go to 81 games.
Yeah, I think the TV contract has something to do with it.
I think there's a little bit of everything involved. I don't think it's the vote. I don't think it's inflate. I just think when you're 56 and 106, you don't have a nice base to work on season ticket holder wise. And then you got to really work harder to get people to the ballpark. And, you know, it just, they have done enough on the field to get you to the ballpark, but it just doesn't seem to be working.
In 2014 and 15, those teams, I mean, were so beloved by the fans in the city because it was an overnight soap opera. People went home from work, they grabbed the beer, got on the couch, they watched the Royals, whether it's just background noise or whatever, they watched it because they felt relatable to the guys. Like watching Hosmer every night and Moose and, you know, seeing the back and forth between Salvi and Kane, and you got to feel like you started to know these people. And with Ned and, you know, his tease and burn and everything else, it became like they were the soap opera. Because sports is the ultimate reality show. I know everybody loves reality. It's the ultimate. But there was a connection, and I think this team has that connection, too, if you buy into them, man. Like, you're not going to find a better dude than Bobby Witt Jr. Sal Perez still here. Vinny's a good dude. Funny dude. You know, they're a very likable bunch. Lugo, all those, they're a very likable bunch. It's the reason why they win, because they have fun. They have fun when they're doing, they have fun when they're playing. And you see a lot of that stuff from the Kansas City Chiefs as well. And speaking of them, we can kind of rest them. You know, people have it good in this town. So if you said you spend all your money on the Chiefs, not Royals, but it's kind of been both the same way, you're going to see playoffs for both this year, which is insane. Like, we're on the cusp of things really, really getting interesting in this town. And I'm not just talking the Royals making the postseason. I'm not talking the Chiefs going for a three-peat. I'm talking what KU and K-State and Missouri football deliver to the area. The excitement of college football with all three teams being good at the same time. You had that, and then you had the Chiefs in the postseason aspirations and the Royals. And, man, you have it good here as a sports fan. I mean, I think this was perfect for us to go on FM. I mean, perfect timing, Rob. I don't think it gets any better than this in what could be the greatest sports fall in this town's history.
I mean, we've talked about on this show, this, I don't think we've ever experienced anything like this in Kansas City. Like, I wasn't alive in the 80s, but it wasn't like the Chiefs were racking up the dubs in the 80s, and K-State football certainly wasn't.
Well, I had season tickets then, and it was not good.
Even that 07 year that everyone waxes poetically about on the college side, where Missouri and Kansas were both really good, and the Chiefs weren't anything to write home about in 07, and the 07 Royals ending their season that summer were not like, ooh, look at the boys in blue. It's not how the 07 Royals were. So I don't know this town is ever going to experience something like this, has ever experienced something like this, and I'm curious what it looks like because the battle for the entertainment dollar will be dominated by the sports world. K-State's going to be good. KU's going to be good. Missouri's going to be good. All three teams have realistic college football playoff aspirations. The Royals might be in the playoffs in October in Kansas City. And, oh, yeah, the Chiefs are coming off back-to-back world championships. They'll be hanging a banner, and we'll be playing games at Arrowhead. So, and early season are their biggest and most interesting games. So I'm fascinated by how it looks. Like, if you are battling for the entertainment dollar right now and you don't have a sports franchise or a sports entity, you might be out of luck this fall.
Yeah, and you had to figure out the disposable income where you're going to go. This town's big enough to support them. I mean, lucky to have a pro football and baseball team in this town. I mean, this is a thrill to have both. I'm sure the people in St. Louis hate the fact they don't have an NFL team anymore. I mean, it defines who and what you are, having an NFL team and a Major League Baseball team. It's fun. This town is insane about sports. Look at the Olympic ratings. Kansas City's always like top five. Weren't they like three or something this year, Rob? I mean, it was insane.
They were like two. The gold medal game in basketball. Like, basketball,
Winter Olympics, they watch it. They just love sports. People in this town love sports. There's a reason why 610 Sports Radio went to 96.5 The Fan on FM. It's what people do. I can't even tell you the amount of times I've been to Hy-Vee gas station or Quick Trip, whatever you name it, and you hop out of your car and someone's got the station on. someone's listening to it because they love sports and they love talking about sports. Whether you go to the doctor's office, wherever, people are talking about sports. It's the number one thing I think people talk about in this town, which is awesome. That's why I love this town anyway. I love the city because of that, because people like the sports so damn much, and I think it's fun.
Also, I didn't mention the Current. The Current are going to be hurtling toward a playoff, and they're hosting the title game at their stadium.
There you go. You got the Current.
It's the first stadium of their kind. Thank you to the text line. Bad omission by me to miss the fact that the Current are...
Anything soccer should be you, Rob.
The Current are selling out game after game after game. Just...
Yep.
I don't know they're going to go from 10,000 a night out there to 2. It's a wild ride.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's fun. Everything is fun around here. And I know sporting's been down this year, but still, I mean, sports in this town is fun. I don't know what more we could ask for. We got a baseball team that's really close to being the best team in baseball. There's not a lot of separation. The Royals are at 71 wins. There's not a lot of separation between the Royals and being the best team in baseball. You already got the best team in football. Can you imagine this city, this town, and you're boasting the best football and baseball team? Because you can really grab a beer and sit down in a bar stool and make an argument. You get the best player in MLB and NFL in your same town playing at the same time. Like, I don't take it for granted, man. I've seen a lot of losing through the years in Kansas City. A lot of it. A lot of frustration. This is like the heyday, man. This is like the time. This is like the best time to be a sports fan in this town. We love it. You love sports. I know you do. People do. That's why they listen to the radio. That's why they do it. But got off on a tangent there. But coming up next, we'll look at the extra point as it's we kind of wrap things up here on Friday.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Put your phone down, pay attention, and stop hitting people. Let's keep traffic going smoothly. It's Friday night, man. Just pay attention to what you're doing. No reason to crash your car today. It's bad weather. It's perfect. 84 degrees. Do it, man. Stop doing this. But anyway, this is every day at this time. You guys call it the extra point. Preseason done. 13 games till the regular season opener against the Baltimore Ravens. Cannot wait. Just like I said yesterday, preseason football is like buying a boat. Best day, maybe the day you buy the boat, definitely the best day is when you sell the boat. Love preseason football at the beginning of it, but then at the end, it's like, just get rid of it. Get done with it. But some things will be decided this weekend. This is the fun part. So you're saying, all right, well, how are the Chiefs going to entertain me this weekend? Because that's what the NFL does. They basically entertain you every weekend. It's the cuts. The players being released by the Chiefs. And you're going to start seeing a lot of it. The Bengals already have gone 11 guys gone. So it could come any minute. It could be a news dump whenever. And typically, you like to give guys an opportunity, maybe grab another, get on another roster. Although I think things are different. I would say things are different now in the NFL than they were in the past. Because in the past, you just do that. But the fact that you can have 6 players on your 16-man practice squad that can have NFL veteran playing time and still be put on your practice squad. So you can still put those guys on your practice squad. What's it do to a guy like Carson Steele? Can he make the roster? You think about that. Kadarius Toney and Andy Reid yesterday, kind of talking about Kadarius Toney and where he thinks he's going to be. This is what he said after the Bears game. When it came to Kadarius, that I think most of us just kind of said, I don't think he's making the team.
We went through last year with him, so we kind of know what he is. He's a talented kid, and he's in a battle to make the team and all that bit. But he's we've never questioned the talent there at all. So it's just him staying healthy was the main thing.
Real talent, hard to argue that, but you got to put it together on the field. It's one thing to have talent, then you got to show it. Jamarcus Russell had talent to quarterback. He could sit on his knee and throw for 80 yards to a goalpost. But you got to have talent and playing on the field to be able to do that. It's hard to believe you're called Kadarius Toney 2-time Super Bowl champion, isn't it? Isn't that weird saying? 2-time Super Bowl champion Kadarius Toney. Who? All right, Rob, since we've seen the last game, who's your prediction for 6 and 7 of receivers if you have 7 being taken? I am curious about that.
I have them at 6.
So you have 6, which makes it tougher.
So I have the obvious 3. Do I need to go through Rice, Brown, Worthy?
Is Hardman one of your
Hardman
locks?
And Watson are 4 and 5. Nico Remigio. I think they're cutting Moore and Tony, and I think they're going to carry 4 tight ends. I hear too often on camp about how the 4 tight end thing is just Andy Reid gets, you know, so hot and bothered by it every year. I mean, remember when they carried Jody Fortson, Blake Bell, and Noah Gray, and it just too often they like that 4th tight end. And I think
put our Smith on practice squad though because the veteran and crew. But someone else has to grab him, but I don't see him doing it.
And right now, I mean, the other thing they like at tight end is they like just a blocker. They like a Jason Dunn type, a guy who, if you need to, can catch football, but he's more of a blocker. Right now, Jarrett Wiley, pass catcher. Noah Gray, pass catcher. Travis Kelce, pass catcher. Like, I know they can block, but that's not their primary function. Irv Smith is a guy who just balls people. Like, he can catch.
A ton of potential coming into college.
Yeah, so I think they're carrying 4 tight ends and 6 wideouts, and Sky Moore and Kadarius Toney are unemployed come Tuesday.
I think Sky Moore makes the team. There was that debate yesterday whether he's going to play or not. He wasn't a wide receiver yesterday, but did return, have a nice 30-yard return in that game. I think
did he save his job last night? Maybe I'm wrong.
I think he's on the team. And then it comes down to you thinking, all right, Justin Ross, you think of Nico. I mean, I'd put Nico ahead of Justin Ross at this point because of his value on special teams. Justin Ross has made the case he's had a better training camp than he has the years before. But the one thing we know is that will make this weekend interesting with the moves they have. And by the way, the Royals, by the way, so not a lot. 12 o'clock, they start a doubleheader against Cleveland, which will be a monster series for the Kansas City Royals coming up on Monday. And people are bringing up high school jamborees. Yes, high school jamborees in Missouri tonight for high school football. If you like that, I still think there's no better value in America for supporting your local team and going out and watching high school football where $20 can still get you your kid in or your wife or whatever and get you a hot dog, a couple drinks or whatever because you can't find that anywhere else, but it's fun. Next week, you got high school football starting in Missouri, Kansas the weekend after. So, yeah, there's a lot of things to start looking forward to in Kansas City. Look forward to cooler weather. This weekend's going to suck. It's going to be hot. I wish we were getting through this, but I think this weekend, actually, Rob, don't count on what happened today. I've seen heat advisors and everything else come over my phone.
The heat's back, baby.
The heat is back.
We had a fun week of fall, but now it's returning with a vengeance.
Yeah, and it sucks, man. You're sitting there going, you know what? Just hit us next weekend. Actually, you don't want that. Just let it be nice for the Chiefs game. Let it be nice for the Chiefs and Ravens.
I mean, we got college football from all 3 locals next week. Let's get a nice
We do.
Let's get a nice night for all 3.
We do.
I think it's what, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, back to back?
Yep, and we can wake up tomorrow, watch Florida State and Georgia Tech from Dublin, Ireland. College game days there as well, so you can wake up and get that taste of college football back in your mind. I have a feeling we're going to be talking a lot of college football.
I have a hunch.
This coming season, and I can't wait because I think it's been fun. I missed the days of the old college football show on Thursday night.
Mm.
I totally missed that. It was a lot of fun. Really enjoyed doing that and loved having Pinkel come on and talk football every week with me.
You on the Noles tomorrow, or you got Georgia Tech in the upset?
You know, I almost went Georgia Tech in the upset. DJ Uiagalelei, not a huge fan as the quarterback of Florida State because he's been everywhere. But I still think Florida State's a little bit salty. They obviously didn't show it in their bowl game, but I think they're still salty about what happened to them last year, being outside the playoffs. But tradition is a team in the top 10 ranked finishes unranked. Is Florida State going to be that team? But what about you?
I mean, I like Florida State tomorrow minus the 10.5, and I like the over of 55.5. You want a little Saturday morning parlay for your boys, over 55.5, Florida State minus 10.5.
I like that. Thanks to Rob Brinton. Thanks to Josh Vernier, Royals insider, joining us. Thanks to Matt McMullen from KansasCityChiefs.com coming out here and joining us for an hour. Have a good weekend, everybody. Enjoy it. Vern next.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.